You're listening to the Filthy Fantasy Football Show.
All right, everybody, welcome into another exciting episode of the Filthy Fantasy Football Show, a safe space for all you foul-mouthed fantasy players out there. As always, it's your boys, King Josh, Josh the King, Big Rome, Fantasy Fish.
What the fuck is going on, guys?
How's it going?
Feels like it's been forever.
I
talk to you guys like every day, but we don't. But it's been a while since we've recorded.
Yeah.
Fish went to the Fantasy Expo.
I did.
Made so many new friends.
I got people out there trying to steal him from us. Find your own content creators, goddammit.
Yeah. You sons of bitches.
Yeah. You fucking guys.
We're sharing.
We share.
I'm a jealous lover. That's the problem. Like,
just plenty of time.
I can cheat, but you can't cheat on me. That's the kind of lover I am.
Yeah. Yeah, the only kind there is.
That's the America I want to live in.
Well, that's just not fair for everyone else.
Well, actually, hey, you know what? Since I brought up, just shout out to the sports affiliation for Fish is going to help them out do some stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. It should be fun. I'm going to do a little segment on YouTube. It's only going to be like 10, maybe 20 minutes per episode, and we'll just talk about one player at a time instead of just running through mock drafts, and we're just going to do deep dive on one person. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds interesting.
Sweet. Man.
Hope you fucking fail. No, I'm kidding.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. No, hey, it's a win for everybody, and we're happy. And everybody over there at Sports Affiliation, super cool. So, like, shout out to Iggy and Poochie and all those fine folks over there. But yeah, the fantasy dude. We have to go to the expo next year. Soon, we have to go.
Yeah, you drink a lot. You talk to people. You know, what's funny is at the expo, I could say that other than like some of the talks that I went and watched, and like a few conversations here and there, like most people didn't talk about fantasy football. We just talked about random shit. We talked about the preseason games and stuff like that. But it was pretty interesting.
That's awesome. No, it looks like so much fun. And it's funny because we have so many like fantasy friends, but they're all like on the East Coast or somewhere else. It's like, you know, you've known these people for a while, but you don't physically know them. Like, we haven't kissed lips yet. I've only seen their pictures online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun to get them to know them all. Everybody's great. It's a lot of people buying you a beer and having a 10-minute conversation, and then you buying them a beer and then going your separate ways. And then it's a lot of talking to the same people that you click with and just hanging out. Pretty good.
I still just want to go. The three of us will get a hotel room with one twin size mattress and we share it.
God, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. You got to stay at the DoubleTree, man. I stayed away from the DoubleTree and it wasn't good. I had to take an Uber everywhere. You know what? It was fucking expensive.
The DoubleTree is nice. You know what? Actually, dude, if we all did split a room, it would be a lot cheaper too.
It'd get so hot in there. Just the way I like
in a good way.
Just put the AC down to fucking 50 degrees. Leave it on.
I do that at any place that I stay.
I'm like, oh, I'm not paying for this? Hell yeah.
Actually, sometimes I have called ahead of time and said, can you turn the AC on for me? I'll be there in like an hour. And then they'll do it sometimes too. Like, they'll crank the AC for you. Because I want to be able to hang meat in my hotel room when I murder a hooker later that night. It keeps the smell out.
Exactly.
Just for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so for this episode, we apologize, listeners. Life happens. We get busy. People go on vacations, like the expo. I had a family event. And
I wasn't doing shit.
Yeah, but you're afraid to record without us.
I mean,
like a lost daddy. Little puppy.
You're daddy. I can't do it without you. Come on.
I'm the shepherd of this beautiful flock, and sometimes they go astray, but no, it's okay. But we're back. So we're going to try to cram some knowledge into your brain holes. Cause drafts are coming. And I mean, so we're talking about quarterbacks and running backs. We love their ADP right now. we're trying to steer somewhat away from like the obvious ones, like, wow, Christian McCaffrey is a great running back. Like, yeah, everybody fucking knows that. So we're trying to like go into like some of the guys where their values are just absolutely awesome. Love their ADPs. And then if there's time, maybe we'll try to do another mock episode, mock draft before the draft actually comes, or our famous every year we do our fantasy draft tips for your draft. Even though, an honest opinion, my advice hasn't changed much. So if you want to listen to last year's or the year before or the year before's episode, it's all basically the same info, but we will repeat it because we love you. And I hope I can marry all of you someday. I just need you to support me financially and sexually.
That's a given.
Yeah, obviously. And again, I can cheat, but you can't. So there's that. There's the caveat. All right. So quarterbacks we absolutely love. Rome, we never got your list, so I don't know if you're ready. But do you, do you have a couple quarterbacks ADPs?
Oh, yeah. I'll hit you with both of them. My two guys that I'm pretty interested in, because I just think you're getting great fucking value. Number one, Jared Goff. Jared Goff has got, I think, with Gibbs coming in, it's going to change that offense even more for the better for Goff. Like, Goff was already getting up there. He was pretty serviceable last year. Towards the end of the year, even midway through the year, the guy was fucking great. He was getting it done. He's the quarterback 17 right now. He's like 115. That's where he's at, right? This is fucking ADP.
And so you're getting like, him in like the ninth, tenth round.
You're getting him late as fuck. And nobody fucking wants this guy. I'll take him every single time. Like, I just like that offense. I think once they get Jameson Williams back, it's going to be even better. He's going to have Gibbs, who's a fucking mismatch nightmare. He's got fucking Chark. And I'm leaving out their best fucking guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's a goddamn stud. Like, I just see so much fucking ceiling for this guy.
Is Chark still ceiling in Detroit? Is huge.
I think so, yeah.
No, Chark? No, he plays for Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I was thinking of blue team. Thanks, guys. Nailed it. But no, they've got a bunch of fucking guys that are going to be great. And it's all like, Goff is the centerpiece to that wheel. I'm taking the hub every single time.
Goff's ADP, I actually feel like it's somewhat skewed right now, just because what's generating a lot of the ADP right now is super flex dynasty startups and things like that. So there's a possibility Goff is actually later than the 9-10 round. I feel, just because like I said, right now, so that's the problem. ADPs are there. I mean, some redraft has started, but for the most part, a lot of them, next weekend is like national draft weekend,
right?
So ADPs are kind of weird right now, but yeah, Goff, that value is absolutely outstanding.
It's insane. And then the next guy I've got is actually lower than he is, which is Russell Wilson. Listen, I understand. Everybody's upset. Russell Wilson hurt a lot of feelings last year. Let's really put that blame on fucking Nathaniel Can't Hack It, because he sucks dicks in hell. All right, I have that on good authority. So I'm looking at Russell Wilson this year, and I'm saying, okay, Sean Payton's coming in. They've still got the same fucking crew of wide receivers. Yeah, they just lost Tim Patrick again. That's a fucking bummer. That guy can't stay healthy, but whatever. You've still got Sutton. You've still got Judy. You've still got the solid running game and solid offensive line. I think that Russell Wilson is going to absolutely have a huge comeback, and where you're getting him in drafts, you can't beat it. You fucking can't beat it.
I can't support you on that.
Well, you go right to hell, sir.
You I don't know, man. Like,
you watch.
I hope it works out for him.
You don't trust in Sean Payton? I'll ask somebody who knows a thing or two about Shawnee Payton. Fishy, buddy boy.
Yeah.
Hey, how's Sean Payton?
Sean Payton's really good at coaching football and designing plays. I think that's
a great answer.
I think that's the saving grace for Russell Wilson. I think that he really would be in trouble if that wasn't the case. I do think they have some playmakers. I think what you'll see is it's going to have to be Russell Wilson's just going to have to benefit from his playmakers, you know, yards after catch, deep bombs, but I think that it could work. I think the one challenging thing for fantasy purposes is it's not the easiest division, but they're going to have to throw the ball to beat a lot of those teams. So I think he's going to have a lot of pass attempts here.
You know, they also drafted Marvin Mims. Like, I know KJ Hamler's hurt also, but they've got three very capable wide receivers, a solid running game, and Russell Wilson is going to be throwing behind, basically with the blessing of Sean Payton, if you will, who you know, coached fucking Drew Brees into being a fucking superstar.
That offensive
line Drew Brees wasn't
to overcome.
I mean, the offensive line is, they got better, man. That's what they brought in this offseason. They brought in McGlinchey. They brought in Ben Powers. Like, they brought guys in to fill holes that they needed. They paid those fuckers a lot of money, so they trust in what they're capable of doing. I'm not sure about McGlinchey. I think he's a liability. I watched him all his fucking career in San Francisco, but they paid him money. They think he's got it. They put him in a system that works. I just think that Russell Wilson, the fall was so far last year. And I think that I don't think he's that bad. I just don't. I think he's going to easily come back and show people, like, I'm still fucking pretty goddamn good. And now with Sean Payton, it's going to be even better.
I hope you're right. It's just watching Russell Wilson last year, especially because they gave him so many primetime games. It was painful, man. Like, even with the stud players they have, I do like their skill set players, just because, like, I think Dulcich, I mean, actually, never mind. We're going to talk about other positions later. But Russell Wilson, I don't know, man. He's 34, almost 35. Sean Payton's a great coach, but I don't know. Although the value is great. You're getting him in the 12th or later. So
maybe he may go undrafted. You're going to get him as late as shit.
That's kind of where I am with him. Like, if you punt the position, fucking worth a shot.
Yeah.
Play him for 3 weeks, you know, see what happens. If you get burned real bad the first week, then yeah, you could just stream him.
Yeah. Or, you know, you take a late flyer on one of the rookies, Stroud, Young, Richardson's going a little bit earlier. You take a flyer on those guys, maybe you draft Russell Wilson at the end of your draft, just in case, because, you know, rookies are the big question mark sometimes. I mean, just like every other show and expert out there, we all loved the move Denver made to get Russ last year. We were like, hell yeah. Like, with the skill players they have, that team is a quarterback away from being a contender. And then we all looked silly. Everybody looked silly. I think anybody was against that move.
No, nobody was, but nobody thought how incompetent Hackett would be.
Just don't talk to Aaron Rodgers about it. He'll tell you to keep his coach's name out of your mouth.
Look, man. I know he did. I know. I haven't watched any of it, but I've heard things.
It's weird. It's weird because they're trying to shed Aaron Rodgers in, like, a positive light, that he hasn't been, like, whiny cunt bitch for the last couple of years.
his handshake with fucking Sauce Gardner is dope, though. I like that.
That's because Sauce Gardner came up with that, more than likely. Well,
Sauce Gardner's dope.
It is. Sauce Gardner is dope. I love Sauce Gardner, man. Stop trying to trade the Jets off of me. I love that defense.
Yeah, you're going to fucking accept it because I gave you way too much.
I might. All right, Fish, who's some quarterbacks you love? You got some good ones on your list.
Yeah, I think they're good. I might be a little biased on this first one here. Because we got him in a keeper league in the 15th round. Justin Fields. I mean, look, Justin Fields' quarterback play isn't the prettiest, right? I think we all are ready to admit that. Like, could he improve from last year? Like, yeah, sure. He's got DJ Moore now. Darnell Mooney's still a yards after catch machine, and that just benefits Justin Fields. And Justin Fields runs a lot. Like, he's got a good shot to run for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. What did he finish last year at? Like,
1143.
No, I mean, like,
overall, not even rushing QB. Yards. Let's see. Justin Fields.
I think it was 7.
He was quarterback 7. Yep.
Yeah. And the team just got better. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be pretty football. I don't think it's going to be something that you're excited about. I don't think the Bears are going to be that great, But I think he's going to be better than last year. And last year was QB 7. So
he's bringing in DJ Moore was huge. And
yeah, at this point, he's kind of creeping up in ADP. And I think that's kind of taken away from him. Like, I'm still comfortable around where he is, which is the QB 6. It's, let me see here. The overall ADP right now is currently 44.3 on Sleeper. So in redraft, hopefully you get him a little later. But I think that he's him and Justin Herbert. If you don't take one of those two guys, then you're going to be really putting the position. So like as one of the last top tier quarterbacks, I mean, not top tier, but you know, the second tier, I think that Justin Fields is going to be pretty solid for you. Some people think he's going to be a league winner. I don't know about that, but I'm just fine with it. And then next,
if he runs for 1,100 yards again, he absolutely will be. Like that's
yeah, that's kind of what it is. It's and I think he can. And then next is kind of like I'm going to call him this year's Kirk Cousins because he's going to go late and he's going to be a solid, consistent quarterback. And it's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he's got a bad O line, but if you want someone to be behind a bad O line, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. He'll get the ball out of there. He's got Garrett Wilson. He's already got a huge rapport with Alan Lazard. Two good running backs. I think, you know, three good running backs now. Shoot. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of those, like, if you're punting the position, just like Russell Wilson, pick him up, and if it doesn't pan out, just stream him. But I think he'll pan out.
I agree.
I absolutely agree. My quarterbacks is last year's Kirk Cousins, is also this year's Kirk Cousins. It's Kirk Cousins. I love Kirk Cousins. I was in on him last year, and what's funny is he was the most, not the most. He was one of the most frustrating fantasy quarterbacks because I watched a couple Minnesota Vikings games, and it was horrible. It was like pulling teeth. It was like, dude, like he'd be through the first half, he'd have like 96 yards. No touchdowns and like one pick. And I'm like, God damn, man. Like I have like 6 points for my quarterback. Like this is frustrating. And then by the end of the game, he has 24. It's like, what the hell? Like, I don't even know what just happened. But I mean, despite him seemingly underproducing every week, unsexily, might I add, he ended the year as the quarterback 6. He still finished with 4,500 passing yards, 29 passing touchdowns. And he runs a little bit, but that's not why I draft Kirk Cousins. I just like the safe floor that he gives me because he's basically guaranteed 250 a week and maybe a touchdown because he has the best wide receiver on the planet, Justin Jefferson. Although if you ask Ryan Clark, he'll say it's George Pickens for whatever fucking reason. But now you added Jordan Addison, who's an absolute stud. Now they have a full season of TJ Hockenson. I am very excited for this Minnesota offense. They like to pass. They're going to pass often. So Kirk Cousins right now, his current ADP is quarterback 13. He's going about 103 overall. So he's getting drafted in like the 9th, 10th round. So, and me personally, I've said this every year. I like waiting on quarterback because now I can load up on skill positions. So that means, you know, I went stud running back, stud wide receiver. Maybe I got Kelsey in the first round, whatever have you. So now I have all these studs, and now I'm going to get a consistent 20-point Sunday from Kirk Cousins. And I like it. I really love his ADP. And I think, like I said, he's boring. He's vanilla ice cream. It's just, it's not, no one's excited about it. But you're going to get... Yeah, but you're going to get great consistency from it. You know, it's he's the McDonald's McDouble. No one is like so fucking pumped to go to McDonald's to grab a McDouble. But then you buy it. It's cheap. It's delicious. And you're happy. And it didn't cost you a ton of money. So, like, I love Kirk Cousins. And then the other quarterback, hear me out. This is going to be weird. But we get weird here sometimes. I like Sam Howell. Now, to me, Sam Howell, that would be if I drafted a second quarterback. Like, if I took a flyer on, you know, one of the rookies or something. But the thing is with Sam Howell, he's basically getting undrafted. He's quarterback 29. He's around 200 overall. So he's not really getting drafted. But the thing is, the skill players that are surrounding him, in my opinion, you got Scary Terry. You got Jahan Dotson, who's hopefully healthy right now. You got Curtis Samuel, who's... Curtis Samuel's a great player. I mean, he's not like, I don't like him for fantasy purposes, but for real life football, I feel Curtis Samuel's actually a very good wide receiver because he's a little guy. He's shifty. He's a good little gadget player. Then you got Antonio Gibson. Everyone knows how I love him. He's my favorite chocolate man. But, you know, hopefully, stop shaking your head. It will happen one of these days.
He's a fucking violent person just shooting people in the butt on the street is what he is.
That's okay. It got him to actually, he still didn't start. But still, I like Antonio Gibson. Brian Robinson, he's a good running back. Logan Thomas, whatever. But I just feel, yeah. But Sam Howell, and the thing is this. What I saw from him, because he only played one game last year. It was the end of the year. But let's see. Let me get that stat. So he played one game, and he was the quarterback. He was the top 12 quarterback that week. He threw for 169 yards and a touchdown, which is fine. But then he also ran for a touchdown. So he has some athleticism. He's not afraid to run. And and Washington's defense, they're kind of like the Chargers. They have studs on their defense, but they kind of suck. So they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. And like I said, I love their pass catchers. And the fact that he's going basically undrafted. So like kind of like Fish, you're absolutely punting the position if you're going Sam Howell. But I just think, I don't know. He looked okay in the one game he played last year. And he's been named the starter. So you never know. I don't know.
I have to see more. I'm interested in him in Dynasty. I have to see more. He could definitely be a guy that you can say if he starts to pick up fucking and build steam as like week one, two, three, you go, oh shit, he could be a flyer you pick up and he could catch fire for you. I know they brought in Bienemy, which is going to be interesting to see how that goes. And just plus, the weapons that he's got, those two receivers are fucking, they're good, man. They're going to be good. Then
their schedule isn't too scary. You know, start off against Arizona and Denver. Buffalo's tough defense. Philadelphia's tough defense. But then Bears, Falcons, Seahawks. Actually, Seahawks have a good defense. You got the Rams. So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, if you're drafting Howell, I hope he's not your only quarterback because you done fucked up. But... a dart throw in the last round? Fuck it. Why not? Just see what happens.
Yeah, I like dart throws in the last round. I'm on board.
That's what you do with Fields last year. Look at that. It panned out for you.
He's a player that you can definitely not draft and leave on the waivers and pick him up if he does good one or 2 weeks. But it's the last round of a fantasy draft. Like, why not? If you feel that way about somebody, just go get him. And if it doesn't work, then you're still cutting somebody that no one fucking cares about. Like, every fantasy team is going to have a player that they drafted really late that doesn't pan out. They're going to get
cut. There's a good chance
for somebody else.
There's a good chance in our home league that I'm going to grab Kirk Cousins in like the 9th, and I'm going to grab Sam Howell in the last pick of the
draft.
There's a
good chance that you're not going to get Kirk Cousins in the 9th. Just saying.
It could happen. No one liked Kirk Cousins last year. I drafted
him. Not if I have a pick in the 8th.
You have Justin Fields. What do you need Kirk Cousins for?
Just to be a dick?
Is this because I made fun of your other show? You have
Fields in the 15th.
Is this because I badmouth sports affiliation?
You didn't badmouth anything.
I know, I didn't. I love the sports affiliation.
I don't know. I think Kirk Cousins might get picked. I don't know. I feel like people are onto it. I get it.
Yeah, but the thing is this. If you look at the keepers... from our home league, 6 teams are keeping a quarterback.
That's just where the value is at. Trevor Lawrence, round 10.
I like that.
Love it.
All right. We're talking running backs.
Yeah, we are. Here we come. Here's who I like. I got some guys on here that may rub some people the wrong way, but we'll see. My number one guy, though, that I'm fucking in love with, Miles Sanders. I don't understand why he's the running back 20.
It is shocking to me.
Every time this man touched the fucking ball in Philadelphia, when they were finally like, oh yeah, he's fucking good. He ran the shit out of the ball. The guy is fantastic. He can do everything. He's the running back 20 right now. He's the 49th overall best player is what they're saying. And I'm going, this doesn't make sense to me. The next closest guy is Chuba Hubbard, who when he did get the reins, didn't do shit. That's the next fucking guy. Miles Sanders is going to be a workhorse. Miles Sanders is going to be very similar to what I think CMC did there in that offense. I see a lot of big things. I don't know why he's as low as he is. I don't even know why I'm saying this, because I got this fucking draft coming up and I want him. I just don't know. I just don't understand why he's so low, because I think he's going to be fucking great. He's just in a perfect situation.
There was that thing that was circling online where Miles Sanders had a meeting with the coach, and they're like, we're going to get you 50 catches this year.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, and dude, that Miles Sanders is a great pick. The fact that was it running back 20, 50 overall, you're getting him in was at the fifth round, you know, and he's going to be a stud.
He's going to be a stud, and the net leads me into the next guy, because I think he's going to be a fucking stud too. And I see that we're linking up on it. So let's tag team this dirty boy. Listen, Joe fucking Mixon just got cleared of all the bullshit that he was going through in the offseason. So maybe that raises the ADP a little bit coming into the fucking draft week here, but they've got him right now as the running back 17. He's number 39. You're getting this guy in the third fucking round, damn near the fourth round. And it's like, what the fuck is happening here? I guess because he was brandishing weapons and shit in the offseason, that's why he's dropped. He's still goddamn Mixon.
Shooting your gun at children is a good way to have your ADP.
As long as he didn't bet on how many children he would hit in the facility, it would have been a problem.
You could bet on it, just not in the team facility.
Right. Yeah, you can bet on whatever you want as long as you don't step foot on the facility.
But I just think he's still Joe Mixon. The guy was fucking fantastic last year. He's been fantastic for the last couple of years. And I don't understand why he's as low as he is, other than that off the field bullshit. But I'm hoping it stays that way, because I'd like to get him as late as I possibly can. I think he's going to be a fucking stud.
I'd imagine his ADP is going to go up, because I think part of the reason why the slide did happen was because of the potential legal implications that he had. But no, it's just silly. If Mixon's in the second round, fucking take him. Like, what are you, like, exactly. Are you guys crazy? Like, exactly. What's wrong with you?
He needs to be a second rounder. Plus, there's just so much other nonsense going on with the running back position in general, with Josh Jacobs and fucking Jonathan Taylor. There's so many things that are nobody knows what the fuck is going to happen. So I think that's going to raise Mixon up as well. Is he's just got this. I think he's a second rounder. If you can get him there. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a first rounder. What, 2 years ago? A year ago?
He's like top six.
He's always been pretty fucking high up. I just don't understand the slide as this far. And then the guy that I really like here, and I know Fish is going to fucking blow a gasket over there, Cam Akers, man. Listen, they want to run the ball.
Garbage truck juice. He's not going to be running yet. He's going to have 2 weeks, and he's going to have 23 carries, and he's going to have 43 yards, and they're going to be like, who else can try to run the football around here?
We're gonna see, brother. We're going to see, because I think that he, now that what's his name's out, they had Henderson, who was kind of taking up a lot of his shit, and I think he's just going to be the guy, and they're going to feed him the rock. Who else do they have there? Kyren Williams? Maybe. Kyren Williams? What's his name? Kyren Williams? I loved him. He was one of my favorite guys coming out a couple years ago. But I think Cam Akers he's proven himself at this level to be better. And I think he's the running back 23 right now, 59th overall. You're getting value.
How is he proven to be better? Serious question.
How is he proven to be better?
Because he had six games that were good out of what he's played. More than three quarters of his game, he scored less than 10 fantasy points.
Hold up. I want to look at these numbers. I got to look at these numbers on this boy.
Yeah, he averages like 4.2 yards a carry or something like that. Like, he's not.
I mean, 4.3 yards a carry is not bad.
I just don't think he's this bell cow that everybody thinks he's going to be. And I don't think he has it in him, dude. Like, he's terribly inconsistent. Go look at his
when we look at what he's done, his 4.2 yards per carry and seven touchdowns on 188 attempts for 700 yards. To me, playing in 15 games last year, but he also had some weird shit going on where he missed a lot of time. I'm not sure what all that was about, but I just think that he's going to prove, I think he's going to prove a lot of people like you that doubted the shit out of him wrong.
Well, I mean, go look at his last year's fantasy and go look on Sleeper and look how much red you see compared to green, you know, like,
no, I feel not, you.
There's no consistency. He got kicked off the team last year. He already got kicked out of practice this year.
Like, that was for a fight though, right?
Yeah, but most, you hear about fights all the time. You don't hear about people getting kicked out of practice all the time.
He's kicked out for throwing punches at that asshole Max Crosby. Max Crosby's a douche. Truly a douche.
But I don't know. I get where people are coming from. I do. But I just, like, I've watched him play football. He's a boomer bust player. Like, if you want a boomer bust player as your wide receiver or your running back too, fine. Good luck.
I mean,
I don't see the consistency.
At that point, at 59 overall, running back 23, you're talking about your third running back.
No, if you draft him in the first seven rounds, he's got to be on your starting roster.
I mean, he'd be a flex. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather flex a receiver at that point.
But I feel like, and then an honorable mention that I didn't write down, but I like his situation, and it goes a lot with it. It's handcuffed to my quarterback. Bro, Jahmyr Gibbs. They took him at what, pick 10 or 10 to 13, somewhere in that fucking range?
12, something like that.
Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a fucking dude. I don't like, if you're in a PPR league, go fucking pick this guy up. Oversell, overdo it for him, because I think he's going to make people look stupid. He did it practice. He's making running past linebackers. He's a mismatch fucking nightmare. Yeah. This guy's going to be good. He's going to be sneaky. Keep your eye on him.
I think he'll be good. All right,
Fish. So who do you got?
My running back, my first running back here is Javonte Williams. Kind of piggybacking off the Russell Wilson thing, like, he's a running back in a Sean Payton offense with the ability to catch the ball. I understand they got P. Ryan there, but I don't think, you know, I think they'll both get there. You know, back in 5 years ago, you could take Kamara and Ingram. You wouldn't want them on the same team, but you'd be fine with each player at their respective ADP. Javonte's currently going off in ADP 74, so you can get him, you know, well after Cam Akers. And I'd much rather have Javonte over Cam Akers. That's another knock on Cam Akers. And I think he's fine. I think he's just overvalued. But, you know, I know Javonte's coming back off an injury, but he's looked strong in practice and the preseason, and he got injured week 4 last year, so it's not like a late season injury where he's just now coming back. Like, he's probably been working out for a while now. So I don't know. I really like me some Javonte. I think it's great value down there where he's being picked, around pick number 74. The next guy is pick 89, so a little bit after Javonte, and I really just think that he's going to be a solid, consistent player that's going to finish right around where you pick him. So if you're, like, looking for consistency, you don't want a boom bust, you just want a solid baseline, nice floor player, A.J. Dillon. I think Green Bay is going to have to run the ball a lot. I think A.J. Dillon's got a good chance of getting 40 to 45% of the running back touches. You know, so
yeah,
between volume and that amount of touches, I think he's going to get a solid floor. I don't think he's going to be a running back that's going to, you know, score you more than 20 points very often. But I could see him getting 12 points a game, and as a flex or even a bench stash at that point, depending upon where you get him, I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah, before he got hurt, Javonte was a stud. So, I love Javonte Williams.
I think he'll come back strong. Mm-hmm.
Who else you got?
You got a couple more guys, Fish.
I did A.J. Dillon. Oh, you want me to do Nick Chubb?
Yeah. Talking about my boy Chubby.
Nick Chubb. So Nick Chubb's going high. He's going at 12.
Did you even talk about A.J. Dillon?
I did. I just talked to Dylan.
Am I having a... Did I have a stroke? Because I'm pretty sure all you talked about was Javonte.
I was pretty sure too, but I'm super duper high. So
well, I went into AJ Dillon. That's when I was talking about him getting 40% of the targets in Green Bay. I think they'll run the ball a lot.
I do recall him saying that.
Okay, maybe I'm having a stroke. I just don't remember.
Maybe I didn't say AJ Dillon. Maybe I just said it. But that was AJ Dillon. I think AJ Dillon will get a good volume play with a high
floor. Yeah. Okay.
And a low ceiling. I think Javonte kind of falls in the same category. But Nick Chubb does not fall into that category. Nick Chubb's probably going to be a workhorse. I think the offense is going to get better in the second year with Deshaun Watson. We'll see if they get that much better. I think that they're kind of peaked, in my opinion. They didn't add a whole lot to the offense there. But Nick Chubb is just a solid-ass running back. Kareem Hunt's gone. There's no competition. Nick Chubb really... I'm not going to say I'm going to rank him as finishing the RB1 overall, but he's got a shot at it just because he's kind of the only guy left in that backfield right now. And if you're going to get him on the turn, dude, and stack him with a solid receiver or another running back, I think that's a great way to start a draft. Mm-hmm. So I
agree.
Using Nick Chubb. If you're late, if you're picking late, look at Nick Chubb.
Absolutely. All right, cool. My running backs, Kirk Cousins. No, I'm kidding. Najee Harris. I think he's running back 10, 25th off the board. So you're getting him in the 2-3 turn. He was hurt basically all of last year. He finally came alive towards the end of the year last year and absolutely exploded in everybody's faces and looked like the guy that we were hoping he was going to be. Pittsburgh improved that offensive line. It can't get much worse. And I think that the value that you're getting especially because nowadays it's hard to find a running back who has the backfield to themselves. And Harris essentially has the backfield to himself. I mean, I know Jaylen Warren's a decent, you know, like spell back, but I mean, it's going to be the Harris show. And the fact you're getting him pretty late, in my opinion, because I mean, think about like at 25, you could start your draft. Like, let's say you take, you know, McCaffrey at what, like within the top three picks, and then you get Harris in the second round, you start your team off with CMC and Harris. Like, dude, that is an amazing start. And I am all for that. And again, you know, he dominated the backfield in touches. And again, the offense there's no way it's going to be as bad as it was last year. You know, Kenny Pickett has shown some great strides. George Pickens now has another year under his belt. They have Deontay Johnson. You know, and then we can laugh about it, but I think adding Allen Robinson was a good move for them. Granted, he didn't show much for the Rams last year, but I think just having like good veteran leadership in the wide receiver room is big, especially because Deontay Johnson is still on the younger side. George Pickens, you know, he runs like Naruto when he's not doing football stuff, and it's kind of weird. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I think the value in Harris is really good. And if he's sliding like that, I'd gladly take him where he's falling.
Absolutely.
And then another running back I'm really enjoying right now with his ADP. It's another familiar face, but in a new place. David Montgomery going to Detroit. I know you're talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, and that's I can't argue with that. I love Jahmyr Gibbs, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs is definitely going to be the future for Detroit. But, I mean, they brought in David Montgomery, and they paid him a lot of money. I think they paid him like $18 million or something like that. And Dave Montgomery, he's going right now as a running back 26. So you weirdos out there don't even have him as a running back 2 in terms of ADP. He's 78 overall. So what is that? That's like the 78. I'm horrible at math. That's like the 12th, or not 12th. That's like the, hang on. I got to do math because it's going to bother me. That is like the sixth. That's like the seventh round. So he's like a seventh round pick. But again, they brought him in, and Detroit, according to Fantasy Pros, has the number one easiest running back schedule this year. I just think they're going to use him, and he can catch, he can run. Like I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be the third down back, and things like, and maybe between the 20s, but Dave Montgomery, I feel he's going to be the early down back in the red zone guy. And that's huge. I mean, especially last year, Jamal Williams, he had like 20 touchdowns last year.
That is my number one fear about Gibbs. And I'm drafting Gibbs. I love Gibbs. But my fear is that David Montgomery is going to be touchdown vulture, which is a great reason to want David Montgomery.
But David Montgomery in the seventh round, which means he's like your bench running back. I love it. I love that value. And I think they didn't bring him in. They gave him $18 million with $13 guaranteed. They didn't pay him that kind of money to not use him. So I just, I'm not trying to step on your toes with your Gibbs love, because I just like Fish, I love Gibbs, and I'll draft Gibbs wherever I can. But there's no way Montgomery doesn't get used, especially.
Well, I think this is kind of going back to Javonte, right? Javonte, Sean Payton, Dan Campbell, coached under Sean Payton. You saw two running backs be viable in Detroit last year, even though Swift probably wasn't used as much as he could. I think Gibbs is a step up from Swift, and then Montgomery's probably a step up from Williams. I could see them both being players that you want to target. You know, I wouldn't target the same thing. Wouldn't target both on the same team, but I'd be happy with either of them at their ADP.
Yeah. I just looked it up. Jamal Williams had 17 rushing touchdowns last year.
Baby Jesus.
So, I mean, would it be crazy to say that David Montgomery maybe gets 12? You know, like, so I think that's crazy at all. Yeah. So, I mean, but like I said, for that value in the seventh round, dude, like, sign me up. And then the running back that Rome and I both selected, Mixon, but I'm going to bring up a guy. He's a known commodity, but to me, this ADP feels disrespectful. It's Derrick Henry. He's the running back 6, 21 overall. So you're drafting him towards the end of the second round. I think he is still an unstoppable juggernaut, and I'm still drafting Derrick Henry in full hopes that he tanks over everybody. I didn't see a decline in his play last year, despite having. Did he have a foot injury last year, or am I making that?
Yeah, no, he got hurt last year.
I think he had a Frank, which is not like even a small foot injury. I could be wrong.
Which would stop most humans,
running back 3. Yeah.
Derrick Henry. He still played in 16 of the 17 games. He still ran for 1,500 yards and still had 13 touchdowns. Like, you can't stop this man. Like I said, most humans with a broken foot would be like, I can't do this.
He's but Derrick Henry. Josh, I'm going to give you a this or that here.
Sure.
Just to piggyback off Rome to kind of see how you feel about it. If you're on the clock and you need a running back, you have Kamara, Akers, and DeAndre Swift on the board. Who you taking?
It actually might be Kamara. I'll eat the three games.
That's my knock on Akers. Is I can get Damian Pierce around the same spot. I can get Kamara. I can get Swift. I can get Javonte. Like, I guess I'm fine with Cam Akers if he was going around the same spot as like Rashad Penny and Jamal Williams. Like a round or two later.
You know what's funny? I'm scrolling through the ADP right now, and I see a lot of players after Cam Akers that I would take.
Yeah, that's the problem with it.
Sorry, Rome.
I think he's overvalued.
But let him fall.
Although, actually, you know,
snag that motherfucker.
You know what? Actually, since we just talked about him, Alvin Kamara, his suspension's only 3 games. Right now, his ADP.
Nice.
His ADP. I just had him. Where did I already fucking go?
I got him right here.
There he is. ADP running back 24. 55. Yeah. So 55 to 60 overall. So you're getting him in the fifth round. I think I'd take the L for 3 weeks with him. Cause you know what? I will say this. Alvin Kamara is still playing in the preseason games, and his first couple snaps, he looked electric.
And he looked better than last year.
Yeah. He looked better than he did last year. And you know what? By week 3, there's already been injuries, defensive, like how we always say it every year. This is the healthiest the players are going to be all year. And now Kamara's going to have 3 weeks to sit, rest his legs, stretch, yoga, whatever the hell he has to do.
The tough spot with Kamara is it's only 3 weeks, right? But you are drafting a player in a spot that typically needs to be on your starting roster the first 3 weeks. In the first 7 rounds needs to play on your team the first couple weeks.
Exactly, and but
if you get Kamara, you miss that. But it kind of depends how good you are at that late round drafting too.
I mean, that's the thing. If you can get a late quarterback to explode for you, or if, you know, find that needle in the rough, that flyer wide receiver where you're like, fuck it, I'll take a shot on him. You might be able, if you don't start 0-3, if you're starting, you know, 1-2, 2-1, and then Kamara comes back week 4, I'm into it. And I don't hate his ADP, to be honest. I think I would just take that L for 3 weeks.
I'm worried that I'm being a little bit of a homer, but I'm doing some of that with a lot of the Saints players this year. They're all kind of falling.
Definitely. They definitely are. I'd be interested in we'll talk about Thomas, that later though. That's wide receiver. Yeah, we'll talk about Thomas later. I want to keep this in the running back. I got a question for both y'all fuckers. Since you've got the ADP up right now, can you tell me what my boyfriend's ADP is, please?
Let me scroll down real far.
I've only got one running back boyfriend.
141. Overall.
Really? Man. So I will say this. I'm, of course, talking about Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, the new center for the New England Patriots?
My sweet, sweet, sweet boyfriend. You know why they brought him in, right?
To join the offensive line, clearly.
No.
You saw that snap he did in Dallas. He was a great
player. No. It's not even that. It's if you like what Montgomery is going to offer Detroit, then you fuckers should like what this man is going to offer New England, because Ramondre Stevenson had one of the worst percentages in the goal line last season. Ezekiel Elliott had one of the best. That's why they brought him in. They said, Ramondre, you can't get it done. You are our big power back that sucks wieners when it comes to getting in the end zone. Zeke puts his wiener in the end zone, and he does it a lot. And I like, if we're talking about a guy that can do a lot inside the 20, I like it, dude. For a guy that might not even get fucking drafted, I like him. Not just because he's my boyfriend.
My problem with Zeke, I should have sent you this graphic, but I didn't know you were going to talk about him. So the problem is the decline that he had. So his career rushing yards per game, 2016 rookie year, stud, 108. Then 98, 95, 84, 65 in 2020, 58, and then a slightly lower 58.4 last year.
I think that's just, in a way, leans into what Rome is trying to say, though. Like, you don't need him to get 20-yard carries. You're going to put him in there when you're inside the 10-yard line, and he's going to fucking bulldoze his way into the end zone like he always does. I think it's a fair point. I don't think that the offense is going to be scoring as much as Detroit's, but I could see Ezekiel Elliott getting, like, fucking 10 touchdowns and, like, 300 yards rushing in the season and make it some weird fantasy value if that's how they use him.
And I would imagine he gets some receiving touchdowns as well. I mean, we're talking touchdowns, 10 overall. Season. I got you. I can see him having 10 rushing and like 3 fucking receiving. I think it's in the realm of possibility.
I think that's a little bit of the ceiling, but yeah.
Although I will say this, he's getting drafted in the 11th round, so it might be worth a shot. Yeah, especially by that point. And then I will say this, because by the 11th round, you're drafting like backup players anyway. So worst case scenario, he's waiver wire fodder. So you turned me around despite the lack. You're not drafting him to be Zeke. You're drafting him to.
When would you play him?
Was he your bye week filler? When do you play him though?
You play him when you need him. You play him when you have an opportunity to play him. He's not going to start. He's an injury guy that's going to get in the. He's going to get in the end zone. You hope for touchdowns. He's fucking Jamal Williams from last season. You just hope this motherfucker got the end zone. Now he did a fuckload, and that could happen again. I think
Jamal Williams is a good example, because any player that's doing that, that's getting all their fantasy points and touchdowns, like every week, is fucking hard to commit to starting that person, because if they don't get touchdowns, they're only going to get you 4 points. Like that's they're rushing 40 yards. You know, like if they're 40, if you get 2-3 touchdowns, great. But like you're not getting 100-yard games out of these players. So when do you start them is a good question. And I think it's if you're risky enough to do it on the matchup, but also like you put people on your team in case somebody gets injured, whether it's somebody on your team or somebody like, and you have to put somebody there, or you do it to, if Stevenson gets injured, like, oh, Zeke's now a pretty solid play. So, but like you said, Josh, it's waiver fodder. Like, let's take, you know, you're throwing darts at that point. Like, throw your dart on the players that you think are going to have value. And if they don't, cut them. Like, I wouldn't say most, but there's a good amount of players on every player in fantasy has players that they're going to drop in the off season because they threw their dart and it missed. I think it's fine to do that if you think that that's your guy.
Yeah.
I agree. Actually, I'm not in on Zeke, but I would honestly probably be more likely to draft Zeke than Sam Howell. So,
yeah. I'm not in on Zeke either, but if somebody did it, I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense, you know.
Last round, I am in on Zeke. It's going to be me in the draft, boys. And I'm more in on Zeke than I am on Gibson.
I just can't wait.
Been in on Zeke every year since he's been in the league, though, so it's like a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
we get it.
I know.
Yeah, but the thing with Gibson though, he's still the most beautiful of chocolate men, so I'm okay with it.
It's debatable.
I still believe in you, baby.
He's an ass shooter. All right. He's an ass shooter.
Again, ass shooter. Can't prove that. I can. He was with me. He was with me the whole time.
I don't need video proof.
Oh, yeah. That's on the OnlyFans, the Patreon. You have to pay for that. That's not free.
So, how was DC, Josh?
It was a beautiful place, you know, crime everywhere. You know, the one perk about the California hurricane right now is it's going to wash away all the poop on the streets. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're damn right.
Thank you, Hurricane Hillary. Cool. This is a good place to wrap it up. We talked about our guys. So next episode, we're going to talk about wide receivers and tight ends that we like, and then other shenanigans and stuff like that. I also forgot to mention, because we didn't talk about news. So Zeke did sign with the Patriots. Dalvin Cook signed with the Jets.
Stupid man. Yeah.
I get it. Like, to me, it's one of those. You know what makes me laugh about the Dalvin Cook signing? They cut a running back to sign Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook got the number of the guy that got cut. I just find that funny. Like, fuck you. Give me your jersey. Stitches, take the guy's name off it, so on Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like, it hurts him, and it hurts Breece Hall, and it is bullshit for fantasy.
That's the thing. Yeah. I'm just worried about it eating into Breece Hall. And I love Breece Hall. It is good.
Yeah.
Oh, Breece Hall's he's not even the starter. He won't start. It's Cook. You bring Cook in to be the starter.
I know. That sucks.
All season? You think all season? I think Cook's going to start the first six games, and then Breece Hall's going to be like, see you later, dude. You're old.
You know what's going to happen? Cook's going to start. He'll first carry 4 yards. You know, second carry 1 yard.
And then he'll step on his shoulder for the 16th time?
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, he'll catch a ball. It'll be, like, an 8-yard gain. And then they're going to spell him with Hall. Then Hall's going to break a 67-yard run, touchdown run. They're like, oh, yeah, Hall's so much better than Dalvin Cook. We forgot. Yeah. So.
It's just the youth, man. Just the youth.
The Dalvin Cook signing, that's just one of those things where it makes real-life football sense. But it sucks. I don't know. I still like Dalvin Cook. I think he's
I love Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook should have been in Miami. I don't understand this. It's where the fuck he's from Florida. What the fuck is going on here? It's where he played college ball.
The Dolphins, I think they fumbled the bag on that one because they had the money. They had the need. And that would have been could you imagine Dalvin Cook with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle? God, that would have been beautiful.
I know. I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Now it's wrecked Breece Hall and fucking Dalvin because Hall's still going to get his touches. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Well, especially when bullshit. Breece Hall's going to average like that's insane. He's going to average like 5.5 to like 6 yards per touch and Cook's averaging 2.8. They're going to be like, fuck.
I don't know if that's going to be the truth. I'm still high on Cook. I like Cook.
I love Dalvin Cook.
I like both of them, but I don't like drafting either of them at this point unless it's really late. Like, unless they slip. If they slip, like, a round or two from where they are, I'll take them. But I don't want them where they are.
Where are they at? What's their ADPs right
now? Actually, I was going to say, here, before we go, we'll do another this. Okay, so right now, Breece Hall.
Breece Hall's 30 overall. He's being selected around Stevenson, Harris, Etienne, Gibbs, Mixon. I'd rather have Mixon. Rob Gibbs. I don't really care for Alexander Madison that much.
Would you rather have Breece Hall or J.K. Dobbins?
J.K.
Yeah, probably. Just a more solidified role, you know?
Because that shouldn't be the answer. Breece Hall or Ken Walker?
Ken Walker.
Probably Breece Hall.
That's close. Breece Hall, Aaron Jones.
Breece Hall.
Aaron Jones.
Breece Hall, Damian Pierce.
Breece Hall.
Okay. Yeah, so there you go. That's about the value right there. But yeah.
Solid fifth round.
He's kind of correctly valued then. I mean, if
that's true.
Actually, overall is like the, you know, like I'd be a little bit.
The only problem is there's gonna be a league out there where some guy's gonna draft him in the third. Like super stoked that they got Breece in the third and then fuck. Then when he ends the year as like the running back 22, they're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah. And then we all point and we laugh. And we say, what an idiot you are.
Yeah.
Big old dum-dum.
It's tough because I have so much love for both Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall. It just sucks. It sucks they're going to cannibalize each other. Unless they work out like an A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones kind of situation where like one's clearly the passing down back and the other one's the running.
I think they can. Ground. I think there's a small possibility that they could just both get a lot of volume and they'd run the ball a lot. Like they don't have a good line. It's going to be tough for them to pass a lot. Like and get. I think they might want to be a running team. I don't know. It's hard to say.
It's just hard to say, though, because like especially with like the stud that is Garrett Wilson.
And the fact that they brought in Rodgers, who will very clearly want to throw. Even though, did you fuckers see Zach Wilson the other night? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but he wasn't throwing. He was running.
Well, fuck. I don't give a shit what he was doing. That motherfucker looked good.
It's going to suck to put him at running back, too, and then see him more running backs.
God damn. I was almost going to say, that boy can run.
The thing with Zach Wilson, what that shows me is stop forcing rookie quarterbacks to play. Let them sit.
No, you know what that shows me is people need to learn from Sean Payton, and Zach Wilson would be a great Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm, but he's mm-hmm. so little.
It's so Taysom Hill ain't that big either.
Like, he didn't look little when he fucking jump trucked that fucking DB.
You know what? Zach Wilson's going to become Julian Edelman. Watch, he's going to be a slot receiver.
Oh yeah. He plays with some heart, dude.
You know what? Not to promote other podcasts, but the New Heights podcast, the Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce show,
mm-hmm.
they had Julian Edelman on their show. That was a fantastic episode.
It was good. I watched that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with promoting other podcasts.
I'll promote your other show, but I don't care to promote already famous celebrity shows.
That's fair.
Although, you know what? It gives me hope that we'll be okay when we do eventually go to YouTube because Travis cusses a fucking lot on their show.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't make money on it, which is fine.
That's true. They probably don't need
the money. We don't make money on this either, so it's not going to make a difference. But.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
We cuss. Yeah. We say the F word on this show.
We say it so hard. We say it fucking so hard.
Yeah. Just say some fucks right in your ears.
Mm.
But okay, now we're done. Now I'm done. It's late. I'm tired. And I'm hungry. I didn't eat fucking dinner yet.
Yeah.
Get some mac and cheese, bro. Mac and cheese out of a cup.
I should really call her. That's yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We love you. Thanks for showing the support. Get us on the social medias at Filthy F-Ball Show is the show Twitter. Get Big Rome at Big Rome FFF. Get the Fantasy Fish at F Football Fish. And then eventually we'll talk about his YouTube show when it gets started. Send in your emails to Filthy Fantasy Football Show, or check us out on Instagram at filthyfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. So again, thank you. Love you. Good luck on your drafts. King Josh, Josh King.
Big Rome.
Fantasy Fish.
Have a good one, y'all.